Father, blessed be the name for all the things that you have done, providing for your people that will believe you and walk upright before you. Father, I praise you. Bless your name. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Well, we're continuing on in the book of Acts, and Bob Carpenter will be reading today, both hours. What, so Acts 25 begin this hour?
Right, 25.
25, let's go.
Verse 1. Now when Festus was come into the province after 3 days, he ascended from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Then the high priest and the chief of the Jews informed him against Paul and besought him and desired favor against him that he would send for him to Jerusalem, laying wait in the way to kill him. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea and that he himself would depart shortly thither.
1 minute. You know, God is one that made Festus make that decision. Oh, look, God rules. God rules. I told a lawyer once that said something about judges in black robes that make the decisions. I said, oh, no. God rules them, and they make their decisions according to God. Oh, God rules in the kingdom of men. Do you know that? He rules every place. Doesn't matter what you think. God rules. Amen. And he has his own purposes. And no person can say to God, what are you doing? Nebuchadnezzar said that, you know. And besides that, Nebuchadnezzar, after he came back to his senses, he said that all the inhabitants of the earth, God reputes them as nothing. Is that not amazing for all the big shots? Amen. Let's continue.
Verse 5. Let them therefore, said he, which among you are able, go down with me and accuse this man if there be any wickedness in him. And when he had tarried among them more than 10 days, he went down unto Caesarea, and the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, commanded Paul to be brought. And when he was come, the Jews which came down from Jerusalem stood round about and laid many and grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. While he answered for himself, neither against the law of the Jews, neither against the temple, nor yet against Caesar, have I offended anything at all. But Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure, answered Paul and said, wilt thou go up to Jerusalem and there be judged of these things before me? Then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. To the Jews have I done no wrong, as thou very well knowest. For if I be an offender or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of these things whereof these accuse me, yet no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar.
Amen.
Then
he was obeying God, you know.
Amen.
Go ahead.
Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, hast thou appealed unto Caesar? Unto Caesar shalt thou go. And after certain days, King Agrippa and Bernice came unto Caesarea to salute Festus. And when they had been there many days, Festus declared Paul's cause unto the king, saying, there's a certain man left in bonds by Felix, about whom when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priests and the elders of the Jews informed me, desiring to have judgment against him. To whom I answered, it is not the manner of the Romans to deliver any man to die before that he which is accused have the accusers face to face and have license to answer for himself concerning the crime laid against him. Therefore, when they were come hither, without any delay on the morrow, I sat on the judgment seat and commanded the man to be brought forth, against whom the accuser stood. They brought none accusations of such things as I supposed, but had certain questions against him of their own superstition, and of one Jesus, which was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive.
You know something? All my accusers, they only have their own superstitions against me. Do you know that? That's all. Their own witchcrafts. Go ahead.
Verse 20. And because I doubted of such manner of questions, I asked him whether he would go to Jerusalem and there be judged of these matters. But when Paul had appealed to be reserved under the hearing of Augustus, I commanded him to be kept till I might send him to Caesar. Then Agrippa said unto Festus, I would also hear the man myself. Tomorrow, said he, thou shalt hear him. And on the morrow, when Agrippa was come, and Bernice, with great pomp, and was entered into the place of hearing, with the chief captains and principal men of the city, at Festus' command, Paul was brought forth. And Festus said, King Agrippa, and all men which are here present with us, see, ye see this man, about whom all the multitude of the Jews have dealt with me, both at Jerusalem and also here, crying that he ought not to live any longer. But when I found that he had committed nothing worthy of death, and that he himself hath appealed to Augustus, I have determined to send him, of whom I have no certain thing to write unto my Lord, wherefore I have brought him forth before you, especially before thee, O King Agrippa, that after examination had, I might have somewhat to write. For it seemeth to me unreasonable to send a prisoner, and not withal to signify the crimes laid against him. End of chapter.
End of chapter. You know, interesting how my life parallels with what you're reading from Paul's.
Amen.
At this day, these very days. It's amazing how many false accusations brought forth against me by the people's own superstitions, their own witchcrafts, and they've accused me. You know what? And God cleared me every time. Every time. That's the way God is. See, if these people would have had their way, God would have killed me. Oh, I don't know if that's true, Lord. I think I better repent. If they'd had their way, they'd have killed me. And then they'd have been satisfied. Well, Jesus said that. They killed Jesus. They killed Jesus. The sins of all of us killed Jesus. You know? The sins of the entire human race killed Jesus. The sins, amazing, you know, killed Jesus. And rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. And the sin of witchcraft is what killed Terry Bye. No question about it. It's that simple. And the sin of witchcraft has come against me in a great way. Tremendous way. I'm planning doing an audio tonight about the experience I had couple months or so back. And I think I'll do an audio on it. But this audio, basically, I'll be talking from Psalm 23. And did you know, about the time this experience happened with me, Denny Hurley was writing that song on Psalm 23. Denny was obeying God. You know, Denny's got enemies in Missouri. He probably got some in Texas. I don't know. You never know where your enemies are going to be. But I'm going to do that tonight. Kathy and I, we've talked about it this morning, experience that I had about, I thought that I was about to die. I thought I was dying. We're going to talk about that tonight in an audio, if Kathy will agree with me. I know she will. Amen. So it's a great blessing to be serving God. And I'm really enjoying where I'm at today. It's really a blessing to me because John 14:12, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me shall do the works that I do, and greater works shall he do, because I go unto the Father. And then I started this morning and did a nine and a half audio on pain, on Hebrews 11:1. Hebrews 11:1. I didn't know we were going to do this here, but Hebrews 11:1 is a powerful verse of scripture that is It can tell you where you're at in the Lord. It can tell you where you're at in the Lord. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. That word substance, in the margin of my King James Bible, I haven't seen it for more than 4.5 years, which I can't see it because of all the attack of the witchcrafts that came against me, that got disturbed and wanted to kill me, wanted to destroy me. But I'm coming out of it. Won't be long. I'll be driving, dancing, walking, talking on the street corner. But faith is a substance, the confidence. Faith is confident. It's confident of things hoped for. And you'll have faith, you'll have hope in your heart for a specific thing, if your faith is there working. If your faith is not working, you may not have any hope, or it'll vacillate. But when your faith, which is authored by Jesus, when your faith is settled, established, finished, you'll have hope for whatever God is going to do. You see, I've been through a lot of problems in 43 years, and I've learned about this, and I've learned that when there's hope in my heart, I know my faith is operating. I know it's there. I know it's mixed with the gospel, and I am believing because the hope is there. And now we move on a bit, but faith is a substance of things hoped for. It's also, the faith is also, or the confidence is also, evidence of things you haven't seen. But you've got the hope in your heart. You know that the things you haven't seen are coming, and the evidence is the faith is that evidence of things that you haven't seen but you're going to. Is that cool?
It is. Amen.
Oh, man. See, I praise the Lord. And I ended up on that audio talking about the Antichrist spirit that is prevalent in America. Oh, it harasses the Christians. It harasses the people of God. It wants to wear them down, wear down the saints, beat them down so they get weary and don't want to believe and want to cave in. And in well-doing, they get weary and they quit. No, don't do that, thank God. Don't do that. This Antichrist spirit is in America in a powerful way. And it's all over the world, really. But America at the moment is what we're dealing with. And it can't wear us out. It will not prevail over against us. Prevail against us. You know, one thing I've taught for years, I don't know how many, and that is Daniel 7:4. And it talks about the eagle's wings being plucked. And I've taught that. And that's America. And I know that. I know that for sure. You know that the next thing in line in Daniel 7:4 is a bear. The bear is that not Russia? Huh? Well, isn't it kind of strange that Putin is picking up the show? Huh? Oh, yeah. You know, that Bible may even be true. Hallelujah.